Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, to those who have iman, belief, and Allah ta'ala has given them the ability to do ibadah in order to fulfill the requirements of servanthood. Allah ta'ala has given people, us, everyone, an opportunity to do acts of worship. And Allah has given us, on top of that, nasiha. Allah ta'ala has given us advice. Allah ta'ala says, within the ibadat, we have faraid, compulsory actions, some wajibat, necessary, some nafal, voluntary. So this is how the actions of ibadat, worship, are distributed, different levels. And within all the actions that we do, all the acts of worship, there are a lot of hikmahs and wisdom of Allah Ta'ala that are hidden within each. And our minds cannot reach the understanding. We understand from hadith, from the explanation of the respected ulama. That's when we realize that what is this action, how important it is. But that's not where it ends. There's much more over and above beyond that. And we don't understand or know those facts. But Allah Ta'ala, according to our minds and capacity and abilities, has explained things to us so we can understand the importance. What is the reality of salah, of worship, of actions? We'll realize, don't worry, we'll realize how great and magnificent these actions are. When we will reach to the dunya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is our dunya we're living in, eating according to our desires, earning when we want, our own time. Our desires, when we're off, our days off, we can do what we want. We can sleep when we want, play, eat, drink, etc. Do whatever you want. Allah Ta'ala says, do ibadah. I've given you total control, freedom of will. But Allah Ta'ala's dunya in the hereafter, that's the real dunya. That's where Allah Ta'ala will say that and show to us and prove to us, and Allah will explain to us that you did something according to my instructions, and you said, come quickly, quickly, salah time, do wudu quickly, quickly, let's go to the masjid, we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then let's pray nafal, and let's do this and that, etc. But Allah Ta'ala said that you didn't even know the reality, the true reality of the wisdom and the greatness of those actions. And many people don't know the taste of the actions that they're doing. But Allah Ta'ala said that this was my mercy, that I made you habitual in that action, so you would hasten towards it. I made you used to it. That this was the taste of my love. And that was the kamal, Allah Ta'ala says, that without even the taste and the enjoyment, you still ran after the action, repeated the action, and implemented the action. That is the bandagi that Allah Ta'ala gave. Allah said that I gave this to you so that you could get close to me and understand my greatness. So a point that's come to my mind, that look here, take any act of worship, any ibadah. Allah Ta'ala spoke beautiful colors and effects and forms within action. For example, every deed has its own effect, unique. Salah is one, and we pray salah different times of the day, different units, different amounts. But the effect, the taste, the enjoyment, the reward, the cause and effects of the salah, and everything we gain from it is all unique and different. Allah has disseminated this in different times. For example, we come to the masjid, salah, imams at the front, we're behind the imam, and the kings in the line, and the rich and the poor and the young and the old, everyone stood in the same line. Everyone stood in the house of Allah. Everyone's doing sujood, prostrating, rubbing our noses on the ground. This is a carpet that we prostrate on. The Mufassirin have stated, the commentators, the real salah is when a person, when he prostrates, some soil, dirt, dust should come on the nose, on the face, on our foreheads, and we rub our heads on the carpets and we're careful. Oh no, 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 let's put another carpet, a new carpet, nice clean one, thick one. But at least we should do sajda on the bare earth. Sometimes we should definitely do this. And what places should we do sajda? Simple places, dirt, dust, earth should come onto our nose, on our forehead, on our face. The more we lower ourselves and become lower and humble in the path of Allah, Allah will make us closer to Him. But we are trying to preserve our respect. No, there shouldn't be dust on the ground. It should be clean. Sweep the floor. My clothes will get dusty and dirty. This is not servanthood. We should be zaleel in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah. Humble ourselves, lower ourselves, tawaza. We shouldn't realize that we are stood there doing prostration to Allah, that we are prostrating to Allah, the greatest. What are we in front of Allah? We should be grateful that even Allah has given the earth us permission to rub our noses on the earth, and ask those people who have never prostrated in their lives, that what they worshipped and stones or different things, look at the difference. So never should we fuss and complain and make of us, oh no, no, I don't want to prostrate here. There's dust here, it's dirty, sandy, there's no carpet or mat. No, once I experienced this myself, I went to such a masjid, it was in the wilderness. countryside. You know, in the countryside, when you're traveling, there's no imam there, no musalli, no one there, and there are masjids there, three walls, and there's a tap outside, and a vessel made out of mud. You'll have experienced this, and you have a hand pump. You know the hand pump? Then you press it down, and cold water comes out, and there's a lotta, the vessel made out of mud, and the water goes into the vessel. You sit down on a higher up platform where they put some bricks, so you can do istinja there with purity, so the splashes don't come to you. Then you do wudu there. There's a cold breeze blowing. Subhanallah. I remember the scene. Then after that, there's no one else there. And then you can hear the voices of the birds on the branches of the trees. And the branches are swaying and the breeze is flying. It's dhuhr time. Suddenly I saw that from behind, another person was traveling. He stopped and he stood. We did jamaat. Congregation, such a sajda. No prayer mat, no straw mat, no carpet. That sajda, that salah. Until today, I have not forgotten the taste of that salah. Until today. Why not? We have to appreciate, nobody to appreciate, nobody to look, no one to show off to, no one to show the length of my salah. Jama'ah, congregation, we did prostration on the earth, on the soil. And until today, subhanAllah, I did not remove for quite a long time that day the mud, the soil that came on my face. Such enjoyment Allah gave me in the sajda. That big masjid I've gone to and done sujood. But this small masjid Allah Ta'ala allowed me to prostrate in. So what we realize is that even if it's a house of Allah, small as a bird's nest, it's the house of Allah. Don't think it has to be decorated, big walls, pillars, etc. No, no. Try to go to a masjid which is simple and no one else is looking and watching. It's the house of Allah. It's a masjid. Every house is the house of Allah. It's the same. So we see that we pray today in congregation, we get enjoyment and taste in praying in jama'ah. Allah says, stop here now. Don't pray more than four rakahs. Don't enjoy yourself too much here in the house of Allah, in the masjid. That's it. You're only allowed to pray the fard component. Now go to your homes. Leave my home, Allah Ta'ala says. Leave my home. This is afdal. Remember this point. Allah Ta'ala says, my house, the masjid, is for fard, for wajib components of salah. Don't start to pray your sunnah, extend your nafal salah, and stay here for a long time. The hukum order after fard salah completes, go to your homes and complete the rest of salah in your house. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, this is my order. You've enjoyed the taste of fard salah in my house. Now go to your home and come closer to me. And pray in your homes where your wife is there, your children are there, there's noise, clamor, distraction. Your wife is telling you off, criticizing you, saying, where's this and that? Stand there on the prayer mat and pray in your home and see the taste and enjoyment that you get from that. That's a different experience. And there'll be the difference in that salah and the attainment you get there is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Massive attainment. Allah Ta'ala says you pray salah in the masjid, but best after that is go to your home to pray. No, Allah, I want to stay in the mosque. I want to be in isolation on my own. There's no noise. My wife won't be calling me. Children won't be playing, putting me off, distracting me. I want to pray in the masjid with sakina. No, how beware. Allah says, I remember Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Madzala Allahi, Damat Barakatuh. I remember his words that he gave a nasiha. Now brothers, this is a lengthy event. Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahimahullah's example, but I'll just give you the summary. That a murid asked him, the Hazrat, what should I do? And he replied, whose hukum is this that you should go home and pray? Allah Ta'ala's hukum. So you're getting enjoyment in the masjid where Allah Ta'ala has not ordered you to pray the rest of your salah there. That's your enjoyment you're getting. Not Allah's enjoyment. Allah says, if you want enjoyment, go home after the fard salah. Go home and pray amongst your family. You say, no Allah, there's noise, distraction, I can't focus. Allah says, why are you challenging what I'm saying? I like it that there's clamor, noise, your wife, your children, distractions, family. And I want you to remember me there when you're home. Do you know better than me? I have allocated you the place to pray. Allah says, this is my choice. The salah, the enjoyment of the salah at home, the attainment, the satisfaction, the levels you will acquire is different. So don't think, Allah, I need focus, concentration, no people around me. This is Allah's order that you go to the majma, the gathering of your home, your family, and pray there. Allah says, I want you to do this. You see your child is putting you off, distraction, talking, gossiping. Don't worry. Allah says, you are implementing according to my order. So if you try to save yourself from this, then where is my remembrance? Then you won't get my remembrance, will you? If you do this, you're that weak that I give you a corner in my home in the masjid. No. So we realize that there's more enjoyment in the house, in our family home. I won't speak more than this about enjoyment and taste of salah. So the enjoyment, the attainment, the levels acquired is different in the house. So I thought that, oh, let's stand and pray. Now, not everyone's house is three rooms. In some families, there's one living room, there's one kitchen, and in one room, there's a living room, the wife, the children, everyone's there, everyone's praying together. That's where you get the enjoyment. Don't think I've got to go myself in the corner of my room. Allah says, pray the rest, the fard salah in your home. After that, go home, run off. You're free. No, no, you're using electricity in the masjid, the heaters and the carpets, and we don't move from the masjid. It's Allah's house. He can call us when He wants and tell us to leave when He wants. It's not our house, is it? Isn't it, Haji Sahib? It's Allah's choice. We're sat here stubborn. So be careful. There's barakat here. That when we go home and pray salah, what's the difference? What will we attain? Salah, as I said to you, we are not aware of the reality, the grand realities of salah. We're not aware. We're not. Our house is like a qabristan, graveyard. It's the headquarters of Jannat because it's empty and there's ghalazat and wretchedness there today because we don't pray, we don't remember Allah. But it's Allah's mercy and thousands of Allah's mercies that Allah Ta'ala allows us to prostrate in our homes, in our family homes. We're seeking isolation in the masjid. Allah says, I want to purify your home, your house. You don't know how much wretchedness is about to descend. Curses, evil forces, darkness and bad actions about to take place. And what is the condition that's going to happen? Allah says, for that reason I tell you, you're going to do one sijda, one prostration, and your destiny will be transformed. Do you understand what I'm saying today, my friends? You understand? Yes, you understand. Okay, so this is the point we need to understand. So, the enjoyment and the taste is separate. The karam and the mercy, the reward, and alhamdulillah, the tajalliyat are different. They're unique. And the story becomes different. So the enjoyment, the attainment, the result is brilliant when a person prays at home in the way that Allah Ta'ala orders. Once, I'll give you another example. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going somewhere and he stopped in the masjid and he saw the jamaat of the companions, and he stopped that the companions are gathered together in a jamaat, in a majlis, and Rasulullah ﷺ got close to them, and the sahaba walat, great sahaba, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, etc., great companions, noble companions, were sat there, and Rasulullah ﷺ asked them, what are you doing here? Sat here. Subhanallah, what actions are you carrying out while you're sitting here? They were afraid, suddenly, wallahi ya Rasulullah ﷺ, we weren't doing anything special, and they were a bit afraid, anxious, maybe nervous. We were just remembering Allah, doing the dhikr of Allah. That's it. That's what we were doing. And what was the response from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You swear by Allah that you're doing the dhikr of Allah? Who's asking this question? Imam al-Anbiya, head of the prophets. This is the discussion between the sahaba and the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ajeeb hadith, beautiful, unique hadith that proves the impact, the magnitude of this action. And the sahaba ikram, they were afraid. Oh, we've been caught. Were we doing something wrong? What were we doing? We were doing dhikr. We didn't know. Should we be doing this together in the jamaat? And they were immersed in Allah ta'ala's dhikr. But they thought they were doing, they said, we swear by Allah, Ya Rasulullah. And Rasulullah said, you swear by Allah that you were definitely doing this action? He said, Ya Rasulullah, yes, we are speaking honestly the truth. We were doing Allah's dhikr. We were remembering Allah. Then they elaborated on top of that, that we did dhikr of Allah for this reason, because we wanted to be grateful to Allah. We didn't know any other way how we could be grateful. So we thought the best way was to do the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, what a great understanding they had, isn't it? So they gave a bit of dalil, a bit of justification, that this is the reason, Ya Rasulullah, we wanted to be grateful to Allah that He has given us a Nabi like you and the Deen of Islam, the great Deen of Islam. We wanted to be grateful for your company and your prophethood and the Deen that we're going to have. We ever worried like this? Have we ever been grateful for this? Have we ever done dhikr of Allah for this reason? We think we are so big achievers that we do dhikr of Allah. Have we ever done dhikr with this niyyah? Think about it. We need to think. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, sabr, sabr, sabr. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. I didn't think bad about what you were doing. Rasulullah gave them reassurance. You understand? Badghumani. I wasn't thinking bad or saying anything bad about what you were doing. No. Rather, to the contrary, I was thinking positively, and I came to give you a good piece of news. The reason why I came, the Mufassirin, the commentators, that Rasulullah swore by Allah and was surprised and shocked. For what reason? For what reason? What was the reason behind his going to find them? What was the reason? Rasulullah said, the real reason why I'm here, oh my sahaba, was that Jibreel alayhi just came to me, just now. A few moments before I came to you, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came from the heavens to me, and he came to give me a message that you see these people, that I didn't know what you were doing before I came to you. Jibreel alayhi salam communicated to me, and I said, yes, Jibreel, what? These are the people, your companions, oh Rasulullah. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning them in the heavens with pride. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is proud about your companions in the heavens amongst the angels. That's why I've sworn by Allah that in my ummah, such people, my companions who are remembering Allah, upon about whom Allah Ta'ala is proud in the heavens and mentioning their names amongst the angels in the heavens. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. And the kamal, the miracle is that On no other amal was Rasulullah more happy and more, for no other deed is Allah Ta'ala more happy and proud about the believers. That Allah Ta'ala was proud in the heavens to the angels. Allah mentioned those companions, what were they doing? The dhikr of Allah, nothing else. Allah, what is our hal today? We have to plead, people put our hands together and beg brothers to come to dhikr. You have to make announcements, advertisements, and call people for the sake of Allah, come to dhikr, come sister, do dhikr, and you friends, you also do dhikr. Tell me, is this the right due to the dhikr of Allah? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is greatness, magnificence. The sahaba was shocked. Rasulullah was surprised that I swear by Allah that this is the reward Allah has given to you. Can there be any greater reward than this, my friends? That Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the companions in the heavens with pride. Allah Ta'ala is talking to the angels that look at the companions of my Rasul, my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're doing dhikr. So if Allah Ta'ala was proud about those sahaba, imagine their status, imagine their rank. Imagine their purity, imagine their paradise, imagine those women and men, the Sahaba-i-Karam. And today we read, oh, I made a mistake, I got bayah with this sheikh. Always he's calling me to dhikr, always he's saying do dhikr every day. I was alright before, and what difficulties on my head now? I have to do dhikr every day, I have to go to this masjid this day, and that masjid that day, and that masjid the next day. It's too hard for me. Allah Ta'ala, when He wants a person to do the work of the deen, Allah makes that person mad and in love with the action. Remember, otherwise I'm a human being like you as well. And you are better than me, more healthy than me, mashallah, you have intellect, wisdom, you are pious people, mashallah. You see this, isn't it? So why do I keep on reminding, come let's do dhikr, come let's do dhikr. Think about this for a few moments. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His great action of His remembrance, that Rasulullah was shown that this is the reward of dhikr, and these sahaba, they are great status, that they're remembering me. Allah Ta'ala said, go and see them, O Rasulullah. So this is not a minor thing. So the pure, genuine point that I started, I spoke about taste and enjoyment. So what we realize is that dhikr, that if you do dhikr on your own, the enjoyment is different, the taste is different. If you do dhikr in the car, the taste and enjoyment is different, and its maqam is different, subhanallah. And if you lie down in your bed and do dhikr, then you will get the reward and enjoyment of dhikr in a different way. You will walk into Jannah laughing and smiling. Different enjoyment, not one. I'll give you different examples. This is such a great amal, such a great deed, that this is the status. They imagine there are different components and parts and levels and barakat for the dhikr of Allah. So what we remember, realize my brothers and my friends, is that remember, however you do dhikr, wherever you do dhikr, it's a great action indeed, and it will not be leaving you empty-handed. No way, no way you will not leave empty-handed. In no way will you be devoid of results and rewards if you do dhikr of Allah. Never think, oh yaar, I have to do dhikr on Thursday night, or on Thursday, then I have to go again on Monday. Oh, it's a bit of a drag, I'll go home and do dhikr. No, no, don't think like this. You're not wasting your time. You get in heaps of rewards, treasures and gold and jewels in every masjid, on every different piece of land, every tree, every plant, every stone, everywhere, wherever you are in the earth, in the world, you do dhikr of Allah, the feelings will be different and the reality will be unraveled. Where? When you go into paradise. At that time, remember Allah will ask you that you did dhikr on that day, on this piece of earth, and then you'll be amazed and shocked. Allah, I did dhikr there, I did dhikr. Remember you were on the banks of river and you did dhikr, and you thought, let me do dhikr of Allah. I said, do you know what reward you attained that day? You were traveling in a train, you started doing dhikr of Allah. Do you know what you got that day? You were traveling in a plane. Do you know what you got? Allah Ta'ala said, I made you do dhikr at that time. So what we realize is that a person, never should he be waiting for reward, or I'll go next week or 2 weeks later. No, when that opportunity comes, oh, I'll be pure, I'll do dhikr. When I have wudu, I'll do dhikr. No, 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 Allahu Akbar. Don't waste time. Don't wait for the next time. Do utilize now, today, here and now. Allah says, whatever opportunities in front of you, don't waste time. Don't hesitate. Hasten to dhikr. Allah has openly shown us the road. Allah openly has shown us that definitely do this action until the day of judgment. I will allow this to continue. That Allah says, gatherings of dhikr will be formed. Don't leave the gathering. I've given you one hint. That when you sit together and do dhikr of Allah, Allah will be proud of you in the heavens amongst the angels. So don't waste time. Remember this after today. Then never on small excuses leave the halaqah, the gatherings of dhikr. Never on small excuses. what someone will do is, oh, I'll rest today, I'll do dhikr at home today, I'll come tomorrow to the gathering. No, no. If you have time and nothing is forcing you to leave dhikr, that no, nothing like compulsory is in front of you. For example, you have to look after someone who's terminally ill or very ill, or if there's a compulsory action, you have to do that time, and there's no excuse that I have to leave this gathering, it's my nafs that is making me lazy. No, I shouldn't leave this gathering, the majlis. I've got no other action to do at this moment in time. And nafal ibadah, you've done the fard in the masjid, and the greatest place, the greatest deed after fard salah is dhikr of Allah. So there's no excuse in the earth, from east to west, north to south, that should make us leave dhikr. I'm free from fard, from salah. I am able to attend this gathering. This is a massive ni'm of Allah that's being distributed now. There are so many gatherings at this moment in time. The reward of this dhikr is so great. I've summarized the reward right now. Just like diamonds and jewels and pearls. Yeah, are they common? Can you get diamonds from a jewelry shop? No. The more valuable is an action, the more hidden it is. So what I say, there is no more valuable deed than this right now, than the dhikr of Allah. The Sahaba in front of us, Jibreel Islam has come and he's told Rasul Islam that Allah has announced in the heavens, I'm proud of these Sahaba doing dhikr of Allah right now. Right now. So should we not do dhikr of Allah? So who is forming this gathering? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it's Allah's khas special mercy upon us, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah, Allah's khas special mercy upon the people of Bolton. The people of Bolton, you brothers sitting here doing dhikr, you have a special mercy and such amount of dhikr. Everyone's listening in the world, the poor souls in many places around the world who have a link with me, they have their ma'amalat, mashallah, and they're wandering around. We wander around the world, they are khankas, and they will also be surprised that we did dhikr in the morning and evening in the khankas, but this style of dhikr that's happening now in Bolton, 50 years this color and effect of dhikr has not been shown. That in the corners of Bolton, different places and localities, the dhikr of Allah has been observed. How fortunate are these people, O Gujaratis? You have taken the numbers, you've taken the fanfare. You are the most fortunate and you've taken the most rewards from the gatherings of dhikr that are happening here in this town. And if we are ungrateful of this, if we don't value this, oh why? I don't value it. I cannot enjoy myself. I don't feel the taste. I've told you, no ibadah will you get greater taste than the dhikr of Allah. The greater is the deed, the greater is the taste and enjoyment, and Allah Ta'ala conceals it. The reason is what? That Allah says, I don't want that you are running after the taste and enjoyment, so I conceal it and I'll keep it less in front of you, so you do more of the ibadah and you'll get the results in the hereafter. This is the reason why. So for example, if you have love for somebody, you don't care, you're going to visit him, you don't want tea or food or chapati or dal or meat, you're going to visit him, 10 miles you walk and you see him, you won't get no food, no water, you go and sit there with love and you speak with him and then you leave. Look at the reward. This gathering, what you'll get. And where you know that I'm going to get biryani and food and roast and other foods and I'm not worthy. And do you know, that's the reason you've gone there for food. So whose friendship will be better where you don't go for any dunya? You're going solely for the sake of that friendship. That I've just come to meet you 10 miles, 15 miles. I've walked here to ask you, how hal? What's kayfal hal? How are you? How is your health? I didn't come for food or water. Allah says, my servant should be like this. That there's so much that I've hidden behind the action of dhikr, but I won't let you get the taste and enjoy. Why? Because this is such a great ibadah that if I give you the taste enjoyment now, then all the thawab will be diminished and you will then run after the taste enjoyment. Beautiful points are coming to my mind today. Allahu Akbar. So never do dhikr of Allah for reward, taste enjoyment. People complain, I can't feel enjoyment, satisfaction, contentment in my heart. I feel bad, I don't get benefit. I do dhikr so much, there's no value, no benefit in the world. You said I'll get this and that, X, Y, Z. Many people complain, Allahu Akbar. And that you said that if I do dhikr, I'll get benefit and success in the dunya and contentment. And I'm even worse off now, I've not got this and that, what I wanted. SubhanAllah. Is this what we're doing dhikr for? That Allah has shown us a sketch of the Sahaba. Didn't we get nothing from our dhikr? Where we've got from one level that we are present in the court of Allah, remembering Him. And we say we haven't got nothing. So this is the point here, that the gatherings that Allah Ta'ala has made, that Allah Ta'ala has established His masajid, no one can do this. Allah invites. No son of any mother can do this. You have lived in Bolton for 25 years, 30 years. I've been here 25 years. Were there halqas like this before? Were there gatherings of dhikr like this before? No. Allah Ta'ala has arranged this. Allah Ta'ala has invited us. Ask yourself, your families and relatives, ask those who constructed these masjids, do the work of Allah. Were there gatherings of dhikr before? No. And such a way, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, we do the halak of dhikr, dhikr at ishraq time, morning, sunrise, in the afternoon, in the evening. And on top of that, look, greater than this, the work of Allah. Not just this, that Allah Ta'ala said that this gathering is confined to in Masjid Al-Falah. No. No. Look at the passion and desire that in Delhi this dhikr is taking place through this media. In Saharanpur, when I go back home, a phone call will come that we did dhikr last night. Wallah bill, I'm telling you this. At that time and night, what time is there now in the night now? They are 5 hours ahead. So about what, 1 a.m. it is there now. When I go home, they get a text. Hazrat, the bayan you gave today was very beneficial. All of my issues have been solved. Subhanallah. And that Saharanpur, Dakkan, Gujarat, India I'm speaking about. If you come, don't think you're on your own. Then also Makkah and Medina. Speak about Makkah and Medina. Dhikr is taking place there now. The Jamaat is sitting there doing dhikr. In Madinatul Munawwara. Right now. Whose karam is this? Whose mercy is this? Allah's. Allah has given aqal, samaj, understanding to people that are doing the work of deen. A jamaat has been formed. Technology, they're utilizing technology. The whole jamaat is doing the work of Allah. Someone's taping it. Someone's doing translation. Do you know where this translation is happening right now? Do you know where this translation is taking place of this bayan? Shall I tell you? In Masjid Nabawi, the brother is sitting down right now and translating. The whole dunya, and right now will go online and people will hear it. Can you imagine this? Can you, don't think this is a minor deed. I'm a very small person. I'm not even equivalent to the dust on your slippers. Forget about at the dust on your slippers. I'm even lower than that. But Allah's karam and mercy that this dhikr, where is it taking place? That we are seated and remembering Allah. Such a great deed. This is such a great action. Right now this bayan will go online. Before midnight this bayan will go online. And the translation that's taking place is happening right now in Madinatul Munawwara. Tell me. Nabi Al-Karim's court, something that will come and be published from Rasul's city. We're speaking here in England. We are seated here. And where's the where's it happening? In the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq, in the darbar of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira Sabutra, the platform where he sat in the dhikr, in the Sahaba Suf, the raised platform where this incident happened, where Rasul went and he was proud of his Sahaba. There sat down a dervish, is translating this bayan right now, this dhikr that's taking place. My words, they'll be distributed across the world. This is how valuable will be these words. Tell me. Such a big loss from a gathering like this. You think that I'm calling you to myself? I'm inviting you to myself, that I'm inviting people to, that I'm a peer, I'm a sheikh. No, these labels don't make any difference. Don't worry about these labels. Speak that I want to come on the path, Allah, so I can do your dhikr, Allah, so I can come onto the right path. There's no guarantee. When will death come? We don't know. There's no guarantee how long the life will be. But when death will grab us, we'll say, Allah, I'm so grateful that if only morning and evening I sat in dhikr. If only I didn't waste my time. Because all of my deeds, all my work I finished. And I didn't utilize my free time in the evening. Oh, let's play this taqreed, that bayan. And let's recite Surah Yasin. Stop all of those actions. Because at this moment in time, this majlis is the majlis of Allah. That's been communicated to the whole world at this moment in time. If Allah's majlis was not taking this place at this time, then why would Allah Ta'ala form this gathering? How many bayanat at this moment in time are being distributed across the world? How many translations happening across the world? How many bayans are being given? I'm not giving dawah, but the reality, I'm telling you that I also live in this world, you live this world. But how has Allah Ta'ala prepared this gathering? This is Allah's special gathering, this dhikr of Allah, special gathering of Allah, very unique. And no one can compare to this. Allah has created this. Allah has formed this. Allah has invited us here. We make excuses to leave it. Al-Falah Masjid. The Noor is rotating in the heavens that this person sat in this masjid. This person sitting. This person sat on this person. Allah says your stamp of approval is on your forehead. You're going to come back to me very quick. This person was there. This person was this. And this person's attained forgiveness. The angels will testify and bear witness to this. That person, those people have died, they are put into the coffins and they're lowered into the grave. Suddenly we think that, oh, they died. If only he was sat in the dhikr today, he would have got the reward. And those whose janazas I've led, mashallah, I dragged them to the majlis and I asked them to come. I invited them, they came to dhikr. And in front of me, their janazas were performed. I said, Allah, your shukr, I'm grateful that this individual came to your dhikr. Brothers, Yusuf Bhai went after Ramadan, mashallah. And I dragged him during Ramadan. I sat in front of me and I made him enjoy dhikr during Ramadan. He didn't know this was his final Ramadan, and after a few months he'd be disappeared from the earth. And there was Mahmood Bhai. MashaAllah, forgiveness was attained. They got the forgiveness of Allah. These are the promises of Allah. When we do the dhikr of Allah, this person's taken the numbers. Allah's karam and mercy, he accepted it. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't make a fuss, don't complain. And these ni'mas of Allah, we should be grateful for these, my brothers. We should be grateful for these. Wherever dhikr is taking place, go there comfortably. Don't be lazy, make excuses, stop talking nonsense, rubbish. Allah, there's a majlis. Your majlis is taking place right now, is existing right now. And I'm making excuses not to attend. Is this an excuse? Can we dare to utter such a statement? Allah Ta'ala's majlis gathering is taking place. MashaAllah. Great experiences are taking place at this moment when I'm sat at home. And I make excuses not to attend if I didn't want to do this action. If I want to do spread my name, etc. For 50 years I've been doing dhikr and no masjid this work taking place like now. How this work is being spread across the world. Allah's hikmah is taking place at this moment in time. It's Allah's hikmah. Think about it. So my brothers, let's not waste time. Don't leave dhikr. Every day do dhikr. Every place where dhikr is taking place and hosted, go there, attend, enjoy the taste, enjoy it. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you as well. This is a great gathering because we should encourage each other, push each other. Sometimes you should push me, sometimes I should push you. So that this is how the car will travel, otherwise we will go downhill. So we should push each other, encourage each other, you push me, I push you. Don't take what I'm saying badly. Don't. If I say something that maybe you think is bitter, if I say something from a statement, everything is out of love, it emanates from love. Don't take anything what I'm saying negatively. Sometimes the injection is bitter, is strong, but everything emanates from love, the basis of life, foundation of love for each other. Because I've realized that this is a great action indeed, the dhikr of Allah. And if I've realized this and I feel the beautiful taste and enjoyment, I want to share this with you. Then I ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness, Allah forgive me because I'm not worthy. I feel like in my heart, I wanted to share the beauty of the dhikr. And then the verse comes in front of me. Allah says, oh my Mahbub, why are you upset? Why are you distressed? You explain, give dawah, and if nobody implements, then you don't need to worry. So then I get satisfaction. Allah Ta'ala gave reassurance to his Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that give dawah, propagate the deen, explain the message, my message people, and if they don't believe after that, don't worry, you just leave them. Don't worry and be sad about them. You don't need to be distressed about them. You don't need to be upset about them, sad. So it's obvious if there's a da'i, then he is upset. The person who's propagating, I'm calling people, inviting, they're still lazy, they still don't sit. What's happened to them? Why don't they understand what the deen is? So anyway, brothers, I am more lazy than you. I am not worthy. This is the barakah of my Hazrat that I've just spoken to you, my broken down humble words. This is their hukam. Otherwise I would never speak, nor am I worthy or capable. I don't think I'm an alim or a scholar or a mufassir or commentator. I just sit on the musal on the prayer mat and I speak to you. I cannot dare to this. This was Hazrat Hukam ordered to me that teach everyone tasbih dhikr. Look how much love Hazrat had for the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallam. That go there, Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, ordered me that go to that country in the Western Hemisphere. I said, I'm not going to go there. Hazrat said, no, go there. I said, what will I do there? Hazrat said that you have to do three things there. That teach people how to use the tasbih. Ah, subhanAllah. The wali of Allah is saying this. Teach them how to do the tasbih. Teach them the dhikr of Allah. Teach them the love of Allah. And teach them the sunnah of Rasulullah. That this is the sunnah. And don't do any fourth action. How dare you? Don't argue, disputes, quarrels, sects, groupings. Totally, you are not to venture into this. You are not to make any parties or groups or politics or make a jamaat. This is the hukum of my Shaykh, written, in the written form I have this. That's why I save myself and I set back. I push myself to the back. That with the fadal wala, I don't want to promote myself, I seek forgiveness. That I don't want to promote parties or groups or you're this or this is your maslak, this is your sect, you're not a believer, astaghfirullah. No, I have no link with this. The one order my Shaykh gave me, teach people how to do the tasbih dhikr and instill into their hearts the love of the dhikr of Allah and teach them and put the crown of the sunnah of Rasulullah onto the heads of the people, into their lives. This is my implementation, my friends, and this is what I want you to implement as well, so we can all benefit each other. This is a great action. A darvish, the wali of Allah, 8 years old, my Shaykh, refined, great. Where did he get his teaching from? From Hazrat Rashid Gangohi Ramdai. He graduated from that khanqah. What a great individual, my Shaykh, and whose ustad was Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi. My Shaykh, his ustad was Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. Imagine how great a Shaykh he was. He had the company of great personalities. My Shaykh, that personality, at 90 years of age, he sent me to go to this country. I send you as my deputy. This is Allah's hukam that he was given to go and revive the hearts of the people. And today this dhikr is spreading. Spreading. So I was going and two children were going with me, behind me. And I said, what were they saying? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. I said, what are they reciting? Two children. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And I was with them. I said, this is the dhikr that we do in our gathering. I was going home. And I went next to them. I said, what are you doing? What are you reciting? They said, dhikr. I said, where have you heard this? You don't know this is. They said, we heard this in Zakariya Masjid. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So they learned this there as well. Look at the benefit. Look at Allah's karam and mercy. How the dhikr of Allah spreads to the hearts of people. That the wali of Allah was given kashf. Send your deputy to this country. And the tasbih of Allah is spreading. And the hearts are full with the noor. Getting the work of the deen. Making us do the work of the deen. Otherwise what benefit will we get to people? So brothers, let's not make excuses. Allah wants to spread his deen and his dhikr. Because the ummah is in need today. Desperately in need. We are desperately in need for this. Because shaitan is at attacks, such, my friends, the attacks of nafs and shaitan today, that he has diffused our big ibadah. He has rubbed our hajj and umrah and ibadah into dust, into soil. Ramadan, fasting, he's got tactics that apart from any other action, there's only one action that can save us today and make us insane. That's the dhikr of Allah. Otherwise, shaitan is so clever. This is from hadith, that if there's any action that will save anyone in the beginning, at the end, when the generation which is close to Qiyamah will come, this is like now, when the generation close to Qiyamah will be there, and Mahdi alayhi salam will be about to come into the dunya, only one thing will save the people from Dajjal, such a big fitna, Yajud wa Majud. What will save us? Only those people will be saved, and only one action, those who do the dhikr of Allah. Those who do the dhikr of Allah, because shaitan has so many tactics and tools that he will diffuse our ibadah, and he will make our ibadah worship mixed with shirk. And everyone today prays salah, isn't it? Have we seen this? That in so many masjids, people pray salah, do ibadah, and everyone claims to be pious and a wali, isn't it? This is in front of us. Can you say to anyone with assurance that I have belief in iman, but wahid the dhakir who does dhikr of Allah? That's one action that will spread tawheed, the oneness of Allah. It will save our salah, make it accepted. It will make our prostration accepted with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. Our ibadat will be saved. Our worship will be saved. And the flag and the standard of the sunnah will be raised through the dhikr of Allah. This is the effect of dhikr of Allah. So should we leave such an action, dhikr? And dhikr, the tariqah that we've been taught, such an azim, great method, dhikr qalbi that we've been taught. That we get dhikr of the heart in the depth of our heart, not a small minor dhikr, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka, oh, I had say la ilaha illa Allah. Have you ever heard that, what is hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin, that you can do dhikr of this as well? Tell me, did you know this before? And you will have noted that we kept on reciting the tasbih silently, but when you recite in a gathering, what is the glorious effect and magnitude? Massive, massive magnitude. That how many thousand times you may say subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah wa the individual, when we say subhanallah wa bihamdihi hair, the hairs stand on end. The hairs stand on end. So I will summarize what I'm saying, otherwise we could carry on for so long. Alhamdulillah, I got so much great taste and enjoyment speaking today. I was in no mood of speaking today. In no mood to speak today. I had no mood whatsoever. And I was thinking I'll go today and we'll do dhikr today. And we'll do a lengthy dhikr. We don't need to speak today. I spoke yesterday. I won't speak into it. But I saw suddenly, and alhamdulillah, Allah inspired. And I said that I have not had more enjoyment than compared to today, ever before today. That the enjoyment I got today. Isn't it, brothers? Yes, alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen.